So who can tell me where that clip was from?
Yeah, go on, Gracia, where's it from? It's Jasmine, but what's Jasmine's boyfriend called? Anyone? Yeah, Lee.
Aladdin, yeah, it's from Aladdin. And yes, it was just slightly an excuse for me to show you a bit of a Disney film, because I do love Disney. The premise of my talk this morning is a real challenge to each of us, and it's the same challenge that I would bring to Jafar, who's the character there that we see in the film. He's the baddie of the film, he's an evil sorcerer, and he wants more and more power, and in the end he asks to be turned into a genie, because he thinks that's the most powerful thing there is. But he realizes soon afterwards that that requires living in a tiny little lamp and being someone else's slave. So the moral really of what I would say to Jafar and what I'm going to say to you guys this morning is be careful what you wish for. So you're probably thinking, what on earth has that got to do with your kingdom come, your will be done? Well, what we hear is that the bishop, in a couple of weeks' time, has set aside a week of prayer for us, with exactly that theme in mind, your kingdom come, your will be done. And this is, of course, part of the Lord's Prayer. It's exactly how Jesus taught us to pray, and therefore, it's a good thing, right? But as I've been thinking more and more about it, it's got me thinking, what would this prayer look like if it was answered? We have the answer, of course, in Scripture. And we heard part of that answer in Matthew 5, when we had our reading a moment ago. We can begin to see a little bit more of what that would look like for your kingdom come. My Bible reads, God blesses those who are poor. God blesses those who mourn. God blesses those who are humble. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. God blesses those who are merciful. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. God blesses those who work for peace. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. Perhaps this morning you're hearing this for the first time. And perhaps you're sitting there feeling joy because you are poor and humble and thirsty for justice. But perhaps, just perhaps, your reaction is different. As it would have done at the time and still does for so many now, including myself, perhaps this makes you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps you know life is just a little bit too comfortable. Be careful what you wish for. You see, for many of us, the bringing about of God's kingdom on earth would require a massive restructuring of our lives. It is wholly at odds with the world around us and asks that we are too. This is no easy task, highlighted by one of Cromer's collects, which reads, "Make us love that which thou dost command." These are strong words. Make us. Just imagine the scene. Jesus rocks up in Blackheath to preach the good news of his amazing kingdom. And he shares his vision of how things should be from Matthew 5. Who, in reality, would it really be good news for? I was pondering this when I was on one of my runs the other day, and it got me thinking. Imagine the contrast of reaction between the big issue seller outside the station in Blackheath and those who rush past him every day. They rush past him because they're busy, or they're after something important or fun. What would each of their reactions be to hearing those words from Jesus' mouth, "Blessed are the poor"? Of course, for some, this would be great news, really encouraging to hear, and maybe even releasing. But particularly, you'd imagine that to be true for the big issue seller. A And for many, as I said, these are hard words to hear, which challenge our lifestyle and our life choices to the core. Be careful what you wish for. You see, prayer is not passive. Prayer is active. Even when we're handing over our troubles to God, there's an active choice on our behalf to let go, to hand over, and to have faith that God has got things in hand. Prayer is not passive, it is active. And the same is true of this prayer, "Your kingdom come." I once heard someone say, "Don't pray for anything unless you're willing to at least in part be the answer to your prayer." That sounds strange, doesn't it? But for example, don't pray for God to feed the hungry unless you are actively seeking ways of doing that within your own context. God does, of course, work miracles. But most commonly, he works through us, his church, carrying out extraordinary things through the ordinary you and I. This is a real challenge to us as we approach this week of prayer. How can we bring about God's kingdom, God's radical kingdom in our lives and the lives of those that we meet? And what is he asking us to sacrifice as we pray those words, "Your kingdom come"? So as we enter this week of prayer, I ask that with excitement and fear, you open your hearts and minds to what God has in store, and perhaps not be so careful with what we wish for. Let's just take a moment to reflect on that. What is God challenging us on? What are the sacrifices we need to make, the changes that we need to make to bring about God's kingdom? Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let that start with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to stand and sing together.